see that that Jonah Goldberg been talking down to white people on this liberal fascism. I want to cut his royalties off. Hey guys, we on the air yet? No? All right, just give me the signal, okay? That Kathy Lopez talking down to Protestants. I want to... Oh, we're going on air now? Okay, all right, let's go. 3, 2. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. John Derbyshire here with your weekly installment of mean-spirited and inappropriate commentary from Radio Derb. A concatenation of circumstances caused last week's broadcast to be cancelled, for which I offer my humblest, most obsequious, most grovelling apologies. And if they're not sufficient, you can go boil your heads. On with the motley! Barack Obama thinks that all our kids should learn Spanish. Quote, "You need to make sure your child can speak Spanish," end quote. I think this is a really bad idea. I believe, in fact, that the teaching of Spanish to native English-speaking Americans should be severely discouraged, if not actually banned. The more of us can speak Spanish to native Spanish-speaking Americans, the less incentive there will be for them to learn English, which even Obama believes, or pretends to believe, they ought to do. If the only people in the USA that could speak Spanish were those immigrants who brought it with them, then those immigrants would assimilate much faster. Isn't that what we all want? Obama actually went further in his speech, descending from error to rank stupidity. Quote, "It's embarrassing when Europeans come over here. They all speak English. And then we go over to Europe and all we can say is, merci beaucoup." End quote. You know Europe, that place where everybody speaks French. Okay, let's imagine that we have attained Senator Obama's dream and every American is fluent in Spanish. How exactly will that help us in Europe? Except, of course, for that one corner of Europe that speaks Spanish. It's about 11% of Europe's area, about 9% of its population. How will speaking Spanish help me in Berlin or Budapest or Belgrade or Bordeaux or Brussels? Here you see the real problem. With the whole world awash in English, anyone who is raised speaking some other language gets a huge value added from learning English. What similar incentive is there for a native English speaker to learn French, German, or any other language? Spanish, last of all, for the aforementioned reason. Personally, I'm going to stick with the rule that my parents taught me. If you're not making yourself understood to a foreigner, talk louder! Here's a thought about oil prices. It's not an original thought, I've seen it in a couple of places, but it doesn't get talked about half as much as, it seems to me, it ought to. If you can manipulate the price of a commodity, cause it to swing up or down dramatically, then you can make a quick killing in the commodities markets. Any listeners who don't understand the commodities markets, Hillary Clinton will be glad to explain them to you. Well, Middle East politicians can do that to the price of oil. All they have to do is make a warlike speech, rattle their nation's sabres, and they spook the markets. The oil price goes up, you exercise your options or your contracts, you make a nice little bundle. There must be some of this going on. Has anybody ever tried to estimate how much? Oh boy. There have been some problems with processing traffic tickets in Dallas. The county commissioners had a meeting about it. One of them declared that the Central Collections Office had become, quote, a black hole. Yes, that's the PC alarms going off. The expression black hole upset the black commissioners present, who demanded an apology. And pretty soon, we were off to the races, so to speak. Just the way we were a few years back, when somebody used the word niggardly. What happened to the old rule that I was taught, not to take offence unless offence is plainly intended? Black hole is a perfectly respectable term for a region of space-time where the gravitational field is so strong that nothing, not even light, can attain escape velocity. It's a good figure of speech for any zone of anything that is so dense and thick that nothing useful can come out of it. Rather like the brain of a person who would take angry offence at perfectly ordinary English words and expressions. Trying to get any sense into the McCain campaign is uphill work, but I'll keep trying. Once again, Senator, you are currently polling around 30% among Latino voters, while Obama polls around 60%, the other 10% undecided. Let's imagine, let's just dream, that by really relentless pandering, you could pick up that entire 10%. 10% of the Latino vote is about 0.6% of the national vote. Let's say 700,000 votes out of 120 million total votes. Terrific. Now, with all that energetic pandering, all those speeches delivered in Spanish, all those promises of amnesty, all those hints that you're not really serious about sealing the border, all that schmoozing with LULAC and Das Volk, La Raza, how many non-Latino voters did you terminally tick off? What do you think, John? You're ticking me off already, and my email bag tells me I'm far from alone on this. You should also consider that there are wheels within wheels in the Latino vote counts. A lot of those 700,000 extra Latino votes you gained will be in California, where they won't do you a bit of good, because the state will go Democrat willy-nilly. And then there's Florida, where Latinos are mainly Cuban, and not really crazy about Mexicans. Are you sure you know what you're doing here, Senator? Well, let me put it another way. Does your campaign have a clue what it's doing? A couple of news items about Viagra. That's the little blue pill that guys can take to improve their sex life. Or so I'm told. I'm working entirely from hearsay on this, you understand. I have no need for the stuff myself. Well, the first Viagra item concerns John McCain. Or rather, it does not concern John McCain, who, I'm sure, just like yours truly, has never even seen one of those little blue rhombus-shaped pills with a V stamped on it. The issue here was health insurance plans that cover Viagra but won't cover birth control medication for women. There was a vote in the Senate on this issue. John was asked by a reporter how he'd voted, and he said he couldn't recall. And then he said, quote, "I certainly do not want to discuss that issue," end quote. Well, I guess that at least that puts a little distance between John McCain and that other war hero who decided to run for president after warming a Senate seat for 22 years. What was the guy's name? Hastening on, some researchers at Texas A&M University's Fruit and Vegetable Improvement Center have discovered that watermelons contain a chemical that has similar properties to Viagra. That's the good news. The bad news is that most of this fortifying chemical is in the rind, not the flesh, of the watermelon. So you have to eat the rind, which tastes terrible. It tastes even worse, in fact, than Viagra pills. I mean, so I'm told. I have no idea how Viagra tastes, personally. And after that black hole story from Dallas, I'm surprised we're still allowed to say watermelon. Meet Mr. Muwaffaq al-Rubayi, the National Security Advisor to the government of Iraq. Mr. al-Rubayi is negotiating a security agreement with US officials. Some kind of agreement is necessary because the United Nations mandate for our presence in Iraq expires at the end of this year. Well, Mr. al-Rubayi has said that his government, the government of Iraq, won't sign any deal unless it includes a timetable for US troop withdrawals. Now, personally, I would have preferred something with the words "thank you" in it. But I'll settle for what Mr. al-Rubayi wants. Quote from the Associated Press report, quote, "Iraq's government has felt increasingly confident in recent weeks about its authority and the country's improved stability. Iraqi officials have sharpened their public stance in the negotiations considerably in just the last few days. Violence in Iraq has fallen to its lowest level in 4 years. The change has been driven by the 2007 build-up of American forces and by the Sunni tribal revolt against al-Qaeda in Iraq and by crackdowns against Shiite militias and Sunni extremists," end quote. Let me just translate all that for you, listeners. The Iranian-backed government that we installed in Baghdad has watched with glee as our troops killed all their enemies. And they now feel pretty sure that if we just get the hell out of the way, they can finish off the job. Well, jolly good luck to them. Let's get the heck out of that sinkhole and leave the Iraqis to do what they like to do, which is to kill, cook, and eat each other. It's a pity we can't take a few of their stinking oil wells with us. That will be some compensation, at least, for all the blood and treasure that we've spent trying to civilize the uncivilizable. If Iran wants Iraq for their puppet, let them have it. And good luck to them, too. You want us out, Mr. al-Rubayi? Well, that's what we want, too. I think we have a meeting of minds here. President Bush has confirmed that he'll be heading off to Peking for the opening of the Olympic Games in August. He's a brave man. The paranoia of the Chi Com authorities has now risen to the point where anyone in that city who speaks above a whisper or who runs in the street without authorization is pounced on by a SWAT team and hustled off to a 20-year sentence breaking rocks in Tibet, which is, of course, a part of China and has been since the beginning of time, since before life first appeared on Earth, in fact. The president would be wise to walk slowly and speak softly. And also, try not to cough too much. The Chi Coms are awfully sensitive about the air quality in Peking. The London Sunday Times snuck an industrial handheld air monitor into Peking to measure the number of particles in the atmosphere, particles being the biggest factor in pollution. They reported a measurement at the Olympic Stadium of 780,000 particles per litre of air. 780,000. The World Health Organization considers anything above 105,000 to be a health risk. The particle count in Tiananmen Square was a bit lower, only four times the World Health Organization limit. But the trouble with holding events in Tiananmen Square is, you know, dodging all those tanks. Yep, it's going to be a fun Olympics. Congratulations go out from Radio Derb to Robert Mugabe on winning the runoff election in Zimbabwe. Well done, Captain Bob. We understand, of course, that you had to play a bit rough. Quote from the BBC, The opposition says more than 100 of its supporters have been killed since March. Some 5,000 are missing and more than 200,000 have been forced from their homes. End quote. Well, it serves them right for trying to stand against the forces of history. Ungrateful swine. After you liberated all those farms from their evil white owners and restored them to full agricultural productivity. Anyway, your pals in the African Union all think that the election result was tickety-boo. They had an All-Africa summit last week in the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh, and they passed a resolution of non-criticism, quote, encouraging the parties to honour their commitment to participate in dialogue, end quote. There was also a vote of thanks to your best pal, South African President Thabo Mbeki, for all he has done to help you keep power in Zimbabwe. You're doing fine, Captain Bob. So what if inflation is running at over 1,000,000% and a packet of local coffee beans costs $1 billion? That's just an imperialist plot to destabilize your government. Don't give in to them, Captain Bob. You're Africa's hero. That's what the African Union seems to think, anyway. There have been a couple of newsworthy obstetric events since I last reported to you, listeners. In Oregon, a 34-year-old man has given birth to a baby girl. At just about the same time, over in India, a 70-year-old woman has given birth to twins. Reproductive technology marches on. I'd like to say something interesting about this, but I'm sorry, my mind isn't working properly today. You know, it's that time of the month. The more I see of men, the better I like dogs, said Madame Roland. The good lady later had her head removed in the French Revolution, and since this was done by men, not by dogs, you could say that the act vindicated her opinion. A lot of us feel the same way, actually. Psychologists have tended to see this as a failing, to regard people who prefer the company of non-humans as inadequate, unable to form healthy emotional bonds with their fellow human beings. Well, that has been disproved. A study done at Wright State University in Ohio, reported in the April issue of the Journal of Social and Personal Relationships, found that subjects who were most strongly attached to their dogs did not show high levels of anxiety or avoidance. The lead researcher said, quote, people strongly attached to their pet dogs do not turn to those pets as substitutes for failed interactions with humans. End quote. Of course we don't. We animal lovers can form healthy bonds with other human beings. We just choose not to. Speaking of decapitations, here's a news story from Berlin. A wax dummy of Barack Obama was decapitated in front of the Brandenburg Gate last weekend. No, wait a minute, that can't be right. Oh, hey guys, who's been messing with my transcript here? Who was in this recording studio ahead of me? Who? Jesse Jackson? Well, that explains it, I guess. Okay, hold on. Let me just see if I can sort this out. All right, I think I've got it. Okay. Okay. There are actually two stories here. They just got mixed up somehow. Story number one. A waxworks museum opened in Berlin near the Brandenburg Gate, and it featured a life-size wax dummy of Adolf Hitler. The very first day the museum was open, a pacifist jumped over the barrier and twisted the Führer's head right off. I suppose he yelled something like, Sic Semper Tyrannis. although you can't help thinking that his deed would have been a bit more impressive if it had been carried out 70 years earlier. The story that got tangled up with this by some malicious person was a different story about Barack Obama's European tour scheduled for later this month. The Germans are suggesting a big speech at the Brandenburg Gate, and you can bet that Obama won't turn that down. Anything to buff up the notion that Obama is the reincarnation of John F. Kennedy. Never mind that JFK was a mediocre president who gave gassy, nonsensical speeches to crowds of swooning teeny boppers. Never mind that Ich bin ein Berliner means I am a jelly donut. Never mind that JFK's election campaign was so crooked that no self-respecting corkscrew would shake hands with it. Oh well, at least Obama isn't likely to make his brother Attorney General. Hello, what's this that someone left on the desk here? It's a CD. It's a CD and it's got important Obama speech written on it in magic marker. All right, let's see what the guy has to say. But who left this CD here, I wonder? Oh well, just play it, would you guys? Thanks. Here you go.
Sie werden marschieren, nicht in den alten Bädern vom Kärnten von Tirol. Sie werden nicht marschieren an der Donau, sondern genauso am Rhein. Sie werden marschieren in den Marschen Schleswig-Holstein. Sie werden marschieren im Mittelwald, im Spessart, im Hand.
That's it, folks. More from Radio Derb next week. In the meantime, this is John Derbama. Oh, darn it. Sorry. I mean, John Derbish Hitler. Ah, the heck with it. This is me, wishing you a very good weekend and a useful and remunerative week to follow.